This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Joe Bevilacqua and New Chapel in Grand Rapids, Michigan. For more information, please visit newchapel.com.
So the first question I got was, you know, how in the world are you guys going to preach off from the 90s? Really? Like, see, are you guys excited about the 90s? How are you going to preach out the 90s? Listen, it's going to be amazing, but the first surprise of 90s pop is a special surprise today. I told you a story about him last week. We talked about Pastor Tommy Pinkerton and the great man of God that came into my life and gave me a word and encouraged me in such an amazing way. And boy, Pastor Tommy has preached all over the country. He's preached in the middle of the boondocks, where he's been covered by such amazing magazines as Field and Stream. And anyway, but he's also preached at some of the most wonderful churches in America. He's the man of God responsible for the reason why you're sitting in this room. New Chapel, would you please stand to your feet all over this room? Put your hands together for Pastor Tommy Pinkerton.
Love you. Well, praise the Lord. Give the Lord a big hand clap of praise if you love God. All right. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. It's good to be in the house of God. Amen. Look at the person you're sitting next to and say, I'm glad I'm warm. I left Hotlanta, Georgia, and drove 13 hours to get here, and I just watched the temperature gauge on my car go backwards until finally when I arrived, it was 5 degrees, and I said to myself, this cannot be God. Every time I came out of the car, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so cold. And Pastor Joe has been driving me around, and if you've ever ridden with Pastor Joe, has anybody ever ridden with him? Raise your hand. Let me see. Okay. And how many of you want to? It's exciting. I didn't have to pray to get ready for church today because every time I've been in the car, I've been praying and seeking God for my life because of his wonderful driving skills. And as you know, I think it's, 11 years, 11 years. So, for a small fee, which you will have the opportunity to maybe give later on at the end of the service, I will tell you anything you want to know about your pastor. And let me just tell you, if it's George Washington, you're not going to get to know much. But the higher the president, the more information I'll give you. Okay? So God has been faithful to us, and we've got some awesome friends that are here from, you know, it's basically a blast from the past here today. And what a privilege it is to be with each and every one of you, because you know what? You are a part of history. Amen. Because of what God did 11 years ago, and even really before that, going back even further and further back, is the reason that you're here today. As a matter of fact, you're here by a divine appointment from God. That God knew that you would be here in the seat that you're currently sitting in beside the person that you're sitting beside. He knew that you would be there. And if God knew that you were going to be there, then he's made an arrangement for you to do something great in your life. How many are you ready for that? Say amen. And I want you to know, as you already can probably tell, I don't know, I am from the South. Say amen to that. Hey, yeah. And I'm sure there are some Michigan State fans here. Any Michigan State fans, go ahead and praise the Lord. Okay, so two people. I can't really see because I'm being blinded by four suns right now. But anyway, how about some Wolverine fans? Go ahead and praise the Lord. Well, I know which team I'm rooting for when I'm with you. Amen. Win in Rome. Go Wolverines. Amen. I will keep my fanship anonymous until after service. Amen. I don't want it to affect anything. Amen. And so God has been so good to us. You know, I am looking forward to hearing the results of 90s pop. I graduated, Mr. Eric, in the 90s, 1991, amen, is when I graduated high school, and I got, you know, young people as we travel over the country, you know, and see, hey, when were you born? They're like, I was born in 1998, and I'm like, ugh, I was already graduated, I'll kill you, you know. And so my wonderful wife, she sends her greetings. And also my 13-year-old, I have a 13-year-old boy who just turned 13. Pray for me. Somebody say amen. Amen. How many of you have a 13-year-old boy or grandson, son, nephew? And then a 9-year-old, and he's running the show. Austin is running things. I told him that I was, you know, going to be back in a week. He just said, well, please hurry up. It's going to be hard to run the show without you. And I'm like, okay, so... And my wife, she's actually going to leave for a week to go to California, and she's leaving the boys with me. And I was praying with the boys the other night before we came, and they're concerned. They said, well, mommy's going to be gone for a week. What are we going to do? Like, what do you mean, what are we going to do? And they're like, well, what are we going to eat? Like, well, what do you mean? Do you cook? My Chick-fil-A cooks. Say amen. God is good. And I'm working on my church too. You know, I'm not the same as I used to be in 1991 when I graduated to wearing a size 28 waist. Hallelujah. Those are the days. Well, the Bible says that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. And so I'm trying to build God a bigger church. Some people have a mega church. Praise the Lord. Some people have... Oh, sorry. Hey, praise the Lord. Well, if you've got your Bible or a cell phone, or maybe you've got it in your mind, wherever it is, your Bible, your cell phone, your iPad, whatever, if you would turn to Isaiah chapter number 40, I think it's Isaiah 40 verse number 28, I think. Amen. It may pop up on the screen, but the Bible says, have you not known, have you not heard that the Lord, or God, the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor grows weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak and increases the strength of those that have no might. Even young people shall utterly fall and young men shall stumble, but they that wait upon the Lord, he shall what? Renew their strength. Amen. And they shall mount up with wings as eagles. And they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Somebody say amen. I noticed that you guys, when I was talking, you mysteriously begin to look up, and then like, oh, I better quote it right because I think it's right behind me. Somebody say this. Say, I am. Say it again. I am like an eagle. Now, you're going to realize that since being from the South, I like to preach, and I like you to talk to me while I'm preaching. Amen. And so let's practice a little bit. Say, preach it, white boy. Now, I was at a church camp just last 2 weeks ago, and I am preaching my face off, which I'll try to keep it on today. But, I mean, I was preaching so much, Pastor Joe, young people actually took their shoes off and threw them at me while I'm preaching. Please don't do that, because I'm not as quick as I used to. One dude hit me right in the gut. I'm like, oh, praise the Lord. I'm going to kill you. And so you don't have to do that, but I like a little call and response. So while I'm preaching, if you can respond, if it feels good, and even if it don't, you can just say, oh, me. Amen. You know, the Lord describes us many times in the scriptures as a lot of different things. And I believe that the descriptions that he gives us are for a purpose. Sometimes he describes people as the sands of the sea. Sometimes he describes people as sheep or the stars of the universe and different things like that. Sometimes he said that Jesus described the Pharisees as serpents. I hope we have no serpents in here. Amen. No Pharisees, no religious people. Amen. And so many different things. But in this particular scripture, he describes us as eagles. And I thought, well, maybe there's a reason that he describes us as eagles. So what I did was, is a long time ago, I did a little study on eagles just to see what is it about an eagle that I would like to be like. And so if you would just give me a few moments, we'll take a little trail down National Geographic real quick. And I'll tell you, You know what? A bald eagle has a wingspan up to about 7 feet. They're one of the largest, most majestic birds. And of course, as you know, the bald eagle is the national bird. It is the bird of our nation. Somebody say amen. And they got about 7 to 8 feet long wingspan. They can fly about, think about this, about 60 miles an hour upward and about twice as fast downward. An eagle can actually see its prey about up to two miles away from itself. So if it's on a perched up on a tree about 2 miles away, it can see a rabbit or a snake or whatever the case may be. An eagle can actually lift up to 25 pounds. I was preaching this sermon one time up in Maine, and there's lots of eagles up there. And my youngest boy at the time was only about 3 years old. And I don't know why, but he walks out of the church and he's like looking up. And everywhere he were going while we were in Maine, Austin's just looking around. I was like, "What are you doing?" He goes, "I'm afraid." I said, "What are you afraid of?" He goes, "One of them eagles coming down here and getting me." I'm like, "What? You weigh more than 25. He goes, "It might be a big eagle." And so I'd preached it so much, you know, he's like, "Oh my gosh." And I said that the eagle actually, his talons are strong enough that it can grip a man's arm and even crush it. But you know what? Those are just simple nature type of things, descriptions that maybe not have much to do with us. But you know what? There are some characteristics of an eagle that if you want your life to pop, so to speak, for Jesus Christ, then these are some characteristics of an eagle that we need to relate to. Number one, an eagle nests for life. In other words, an eagle finds a nest and puts it up in the mountaintop, and he has it for the remainder of his life. I think that's a good lesson for us to learn as we are committed to New Chapel. That we find a place where God has called us to be, like, this is a good place. Look at somebody and say, "This is a good place to nest." Go on and tell somebody you're sitting next to, "This is a good place to have a nest." A good place to have a place to put down some roots. Because I have found out in my experience as a believer, I've served the Lord and preached the gospel for 25 years. I started preaching when I was 17, and I have not yet stopped and don't plan to stop until I take my last breath. Amen. And I have found out that a person who has a determination to nest for life, to put down roots, that is when your life can truly be successful for God. So an eagle nests for life. Number two, an eagle mates for life. Say amen. Now, this isn't a marriage conference, and February is over, for it is March the 1st. But how many of you know that an eagle sometimes has more sense than, well, praise the Lord. They mate for life. Number three is that an eagle has vision. Now, we talked about how they can see a long distance to find the prey that they're looking for. But in order for us to be like an eagle, you and I both have to have good vision. We have to have foresight to be able to see what God is doing in our life. And when you connect to a good church and you connect yourself to a good place, then that helps you be able to see clearly what the Lord has for us to do. For we know that the Bible says in Proverbs that where there is no vision, the people perish and they cast off restraint and run crazy. That was kind of the last part was my addition to the word of the Lord. That was the Thomas Pinkerton version. But without a good vision, people act a fool. Say amen. Do you know anybody like that? Just look straight. Don't nudge that person yet, okay? But without a good vision, see, an eagle can see 2 miles into the future to see the prey in which they need to have to survive. And when you connect yourself to a good church, guess what? The fog of life lifts so that you can see where you need to go in the future. I need a good vision, amen? I need to be able to see clearly. And when you serve the Lord, He enables you to see things that you could not see otherwise. You've got to have a vision. One thing I like about eagles, number four, is that an eagle will not eat dead things. Now, how many of you driven down the road and you see those buzzards flying around circling? Or you drive down in the country roads where I grew up in Atlanta and in Kentucky, you're driving down a country road and there's a bunch of big crows on some roadkill. They don't mind to eat that. Some of my cousins don't mind to... Oh, sorry. Sorry about that. We won't starve to death down there, I promise. But an eagle won't eat dead things. I think that's a good lesson for us. Not necessarily for food, but for life. That we won't receive or eat a dead word from the Lord. That you need to be in a place, a life-giving place like New Chapel that produces a fresh word from God for you every week so that you can survive. Don't eat dead things. Don't eat old words. Don't eat things from the past. Don't rely on your relationship that you had from God 15 years ago and think that you're going to be able to move forward today. Say amen. You have to have a fresh word from the Lord. I know so many people, you know, growing up in church my whole life, I literally was born Baptist. I don't think I was born a Christian, but I was born a Baptist. And Dave, I think we were born like on Thursday, and David, I was on church on Sunday. Had no choice, amen. Growing up, my mom did not come into our house and say, or come into our bedroom and go, baby, you want to get up and go to church today? What? Baby, you want to get up and go to church? There wasn't no, do you want to do anything until I got old enough to move out. And when I go home, there's still no, do you want to? No, it's still the way it was when I was a baby. My mom come in there and say, this is how it's going to be. We're going to do blah, 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 blah. And you say, yes, ma'am. And so I grew up in church, but one thing that I have found out that sometimes in preaching, you hear people deliver things that aren't fresh and bring life. And one thing about being connected here that I know that every week Pastor Joe brings a fresh word for you so that you can do and go forward in your life. Somebody say amen. A fresh word. Eagles won't eat dead things. And there's some other things about an eagle that I think is awesome. That this is, you may not have known this, but an eagle loves the storm. Eagles love storms. Where other smaller birds, most animals, they will seek shelter during a storm. But when an eagle sees a storm, it actually, they say, gets excited about it because it begins to fly directly in to the storm. There is something about the physical makeup of an eagle that God did on purpose. How many of you know we have a purposeful God that creation declares his glory? Hallelujah. And that an eagle's wings will actually, he can stretch them out in a way that they will lock in position. That no matter how powerful the winds of the storm are, that the eagle's wings can lock. Now, you would think that wouldn't make sense because surely the eagle would want to flap its wings in order to weather the storm. But the eagle knows that the pressure, the air pressure of the storm will actually lift the eagle up. He has to do no work. Say amen. That sounds good, doesn't it? Actually has to do no work, and the pressure will lift the eagle above the storm. See, that's a characteristic that you and I need to have. That when the storms of life are raging and the winds are blowing and all hell is breaking loose, that we would just simply lock our faith in Christ and allow the winds of the storm to lift us above to where we can see the bright and morning star whose name is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You know, I didn't ever really comprehend what that would be like, and I love to fly. Flying is better than driving. Somebody say amen. After driving 13 hours, flying is better than driving. Glory to God. I'm going to have to be flying here soon, 17 hours from Los Angeles, California to Manila, Philippines, as we go and take care of our orphanage that we have in the Philippines. And that's a 17-hour flight. How many of you know that is, Dave Sundry has been with me on that trip? He took a lot of drugs. That's the only time that drugs are okay is when you're on a 17-hour flight. Benadryl, Benadryl, Benadryl. NyQuil, NyQuil, NyQuil. And you just fall out and wake up and you're there. Praise the Lord. And if you crash, you'll be asleep. You don't care. So it works so wonderful, all the benefits of Benadryl and NyQuil and other types of suppressants. Hallelujah. And so flying is better. But I remember one time I was actually, you know, on the runway, and man, it's lightning and all this. I'm like, oh, Lord, we're going to get grounded here. This is terrible. But they went ahead and flew. They went ahead and flew. And so we go forward, and we're going into the clouds. And, of course, we're in these clouds. And in that one moment, you want to turn around, but you're not the pilot, so you have to sustain. And the plane is shaking. One time the plane was shaking so much, a woman that I did not know sitting next to me asks me, she says, can I hold your hand? I said, do you want to hold this hand, the one with the ring on it? I said, would it make you feel better if you hold my hand? And she said, yes. I said, all right, just hold my hand until we get through this. And she held my hand, and I'm telling you, she gripped it with everything in her. And I'm like, are you scared? And she says, I am scared to death. I said, don't be scared. She says, why not? I said, I'm a man of God. I had to say it like that to convince her. Because there's a certain way, you know, men of God speak, praise the Lord. I said, I'm a man of God, and the plane ain't going down. She says, what are you? I said, I've got to preach over here, and the plane ain't going down until I get there. She's like, really? I said, that's true. I had no idea what I was talking about, but I wanted her to let go of my hand. And she held on, and we made it through. But what was amazing is that though it was so dark, and then when you're in the midst, you're actually looking at the lightning. But before long, something very powerful happened that I'm sure that every eagle experiences at least once in their life. That as you're flying, the plane is shaking, you've got unknown people holding your hand, and you don't know what's happening, and then all of a sudden, you're looking down on the very thing that you were afraid of. When you trust God and give your heart over to Christ, you can look down on the storms that other people have to go through. And man, all of a sudden, there's the sun, boom. It's shining so bright, you're looking down, and then you just see flashes of light underneath you as the lightning is, the storm is still going. The storm didn't go away. You just locked in place, allowed the wind of God's Spirit to lift you above the storm, and suddenly, perspective is everything. Amen? Look at the person you're sitting next to, and just look at them and say, perspective is everything. How you look at what you're going through actually determines how you respond to it. And it's a big deal to be able to look down at the storm and say, look, that storm thought it had me, but now I'm over it. I'm flying over the storm. And one thing about an eagle that I like, they only have one natural born enemy. The bald eagle has only one natural born enemy, and it's the great horned owl. And the great horned owl is its only predator. The only thing that will try to prey upon an eagle is a great horned owl. And of course, you know the great horned owl is a humongous owl. I don't know about you, but as far as birds are concerned, the owl is the scariest bird ever. How many of you know that? I mean, like, if those eyes and they're just staring at, that is scary. Especially when they do that exorcist thing with their head and start spinning it around in circles. You're like, yikes, that cannot be God. And that great horned owl will actually try to capture the bald eagle. But the bald eagle actually does something very bizarre. That is, the owl pursues the eagle. The eagle actually flies straight up. Directly going directly into the sun. And what is interesting is that the eagle actually has a lens that in that moment will cover up its eyes so that it can see into the sun. The great horned owl does not have this lens on its eyes, and you know their eyes are gigantic, right? And as that eagle is going into the sun, the owl eventually has to abandon its pursuit of the eagle. Because the eagle is flying into the sun. How many of you know that's easy to preach right there? That when you are being pursued by the enemy of your soul, all you've got to do is fly directly into the sun. And where the glory of God is, no sickness, no disease, no poverty, nothing can harm you when you are going into the sun. Say amen. Go ahead and take your arms like this. And you might slap the person you're sitting next to, but you've been wanting to all day. Go ahead and slap your husband right now. A perfect time to do it because the preacher said so. And say, I'm an eagle. And I'll fly into the sun. Now, that's something that's awesome, that when you want to serve the Lord, surely there'll be things that'll come against you. But all you got to do is fly above the storm, go towards the sun, and the devil can't harm you. Some good Pentecostal scriptures there that every good Pentecostal knows is that no weapon formed against me can prosper. All the tongues that rise up against me in judgment, God shall condemn. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm blessed coming in, blessed going out, blessed in the city, blessed in the field. Everything my hands touch is blessed. I'm the head, not the tail, above only, not beneath. These are good just scriptures you just throw out there in the devil's face just to make him mad. He's a punk. Amen. I like to slap him around. He has no power, no authority over me. He's my only enemy. I said, he's my only enemy. That person that you dodge when you at Myers, have you ever done this? Watch. Has this ever been you? Watch and learn. Welcome to every day of my life. I don't know if I'm doing that to people or people are doing that to me, but it doesn't matter. But you only have one enemy. It's not the person that you're sitting away from or next to. You only got one, and that dummy's name is the devil. And guess what? He can't do nothing to you. Say amen. Hey, guess what? He's a soul man. He's under your feet. Now, one thing that is a good characteristic of these eagles is that they take care of their young. They are one of the most maternal animals there is. And I want to wrap it up like this because, which this could possibly be the shortest sermon that I've ever preached in my entire life. Pastor Joe says, now look, he gives me a little direction. I said, thank you so much, son, for that direction. But I have to keep it short and powerful. Somebody say amen. So here we go. The nest of an eagle is like a sealy posturpedic bed. That's the best way that I can describe a nest of an eagle. And when it gets ready to have its babies, it's got fur, it's got all of these things that are down inside the nest. All of this stuff is just all in there so that when these babies are born, and I'll call the baby Eagle Junior, we'll just call him Junior. And when Junior is born, he is born into one of the greatest scenarios ever. Guess what little Junior has to do? He doesn't have to do anything in the first beginning of his life. Because you know what? His mom is going and dad, they're going together. They raise them together. They go to the river. They go to the field and they bring them fresh food. And you know how baby birds are, much like Christians, praise the Lord. Feed me, feed me, feed. Hello. Feed me, feed me. I left that church because I wasn't getting fed. You've been in church your whole life. Praise the Lord. Shouldn't you be feeding yourself by now? That's some good preaching right there. Woo! Amen. 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 Mm-hmm. It was cute, you know, when Austin and Hayden were babies, you know, when even a baby has the desire to feed itself. How many parents know? How awesome was it the first time when you gave your baby spaghetti and they didn't want you to do the airplane thing no more? Open up your mouth. They're like, no, 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 no. I feed myself. But when they feed themselves, they don't use the fork. They just grab it and they're like, oh, I was supposed to put it in my mouth. And they put it all over their faces. But guess what? That is how they learn how to be an adult. Isn't it the same with us as Christians? That yes, when you're a new believer, of course, you need to be fed and all this, but eventually you ought to be able to open up the Bible on your own and get some fresh word for yourself. That's good preaching, ain't it? Amen. Amen. Thank you, two people. Okay. Thank you for those two claps. Thank you. And so the eagle, though, the mother, at this time taking care of the baby, bringing them fresh food. The baby is comfortable in its Sealy Posturepedic nest, and everything is wonderful. But one thing that the mother knows about the baby is that the baby has not been created to stay in the nest. That's a word to any 22, 23, 24-year-old still in the nest. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord. Go down south with me. Amen. And so they continue to do that. Eventually, Junior is beginning to pop out some feathers, and he's stretching out his wings a little bit, and things are beginning to happen. And then what the baby is starting to do now is that he's getting out on the edge of the cliff, and him and his little cousin or brother, rather, they're looking out over, and they notice that mom and dad are never at the nest, because an eagle only has a nest to raise its children. But the eagle don't sleep there. The eagle has been born to fly. Your life, you're not meant to just stay in a nest and just warm a pew somewhere or a seat. You've been created to fly. Your life is not meant to be mundane or mediocre or average, but your life has been created to, if you will, in honor of the month of March, your life has been created to pop. Look at somebody and say, pop. That was kind of weak. This is like Presbyterian church. Look at somebody and say, pop. Do it like you love the Lord. Pop. Your life is meant to pop. And that eagle knows that about that baby Junior. So one day, while Junior is enjoying the fresh delicacies of his mom and fish and all this, one day Junior is looking over the cliff, imagining what it would be like to fly. Looks at his brother. Hey, you go first. He's like, no, you go first. Well, while they're arguing, have you ever done that? Have you anybody ever jumped off anything high before? Like dangerously high? And that you didn't tell your mama that you done it until Thanksgiving years later? Hey, guess what I used to do? What? Oh, my God, I'd have killed you. No kidding. That's why you don't know till now. And you would stand there. Me and my brother, we would go. In Kentucky, we have strip mines where they strip the coal mine. It's not the kind underground. It's the kind they strip it out, and they have natural lakes, and or not natural, man-made lakes because of the strip mines. We'd climb these cliffs, and we would stand on the edge. And, of course, you have to count in order to build up boldness. But the counting actually works in reverse. It doesn't make you more courageous. It actually makes you more scared. Because you're 50 feet or higher up, and you're getting ready to jump into an unknown body of water. One. Okay, we're going to go on the count of three. Oh, wonderful. Yes, we will. Okay. And you in your mind know I'm not going, but I'm pushing him in. One, two, three. Oh, God. One, two. And finally, you go over this. That's what these eagles are doing. One day, while the eagle is on the edge of the cliff, mama is back there at the Sealy Posturepedic bed. Now, what mama's back there doing is what some mamas in here might need to do. I heard a push him out, come out from back over there. I can't see because I'm being blinded, but I said amen to that. Mama is tearing that nest up. She's like, all right, I'm taking out this cushion. I'm taking out this. And literally, she completely removes everything comfortable about the nest. Have you ever had the comfort of your life removed? Now, what we do sometimes, though, Pastor Joe, is that when anything bad happens, the first thing anybody that's been in church does is rebuke the devil. Devil, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Oh, this can't be God. This is the devil. The reason I got a flat tire. I rebuke you, devil. It ain't the devil. Those tires are so slick. Wires were poking out. And you mad at the devil. No, you need to buy new tires. That ain't the devil. The devil's been really harassing me. My refrigerator broke down. That's because it's 90 years old. Eric, that ain't the devil. You're cheap. Oh, I'm sorry. Say, man. But how many of you know, a lot of the times, even though your boss might be getting on your nerves. Anybody know anything about that? Don't say nothing in case your boss is here. But life is getting, things begin to get uncomfortable, and sometimes we get angry when actually it's the Lord trying to let you know that you weren't created for this particular spot, but you've been created to fly. And God knows your potential greater than you. And so sometimes what he has to do is mess up the nest, because he knows that if he don't mess up your nest, you're going to keep going back to that. Because it's comfortable. Thank you. I will. You keep going back to it. Now, here's Junior. They're like, oh, okay, we're going to jump. Ah, forget about it. Mama will bring us that food. Daddy will bring us a little bit. So they go back, and they're getting ready to sit down. What in the world? What happened to my bed? Mama ain't there. See, when you start questioning the Lord, asking what happened to your bed, I promise you ain't getting no answer. He ain't saying nothing. Sometimes the silence of the Lord is quite the answer. Oh, that's a good word right there. I ain't lying. Amen, preacher. Amen. What happened to my bed? Well, the bed was okay for a while. But you ought to spread your wings. They're like, man, forget this. Sometimes you got to mess up the comfort zone, allow that to be messed up so that you can move on and so your life can pop. Because you've been created to fly, not walk with the chickens. I know a little bit about that. Say amen. You've been created to fly. And so what happens is Junior's just like this. What time is it, by the way? It's 11:37 if you're taking medicine. Hallelujah. Just want to, you know, medicine. Don't want anybody tripping out on me while I'm preaching. Just saying. We can pray, though, later at the little tent out there if you need prayer. Okay, so Junior... I might be the one needing medicine right now. But anyway, so they're out there. And Mama, though, takes it to another level, because sometimes, even though it's messed up back here, the leap of faith necessary sometimes comes with a little help. And they'd say that the eagle will actually come in stealth mode, land behind Junior. And while Junior's looking at the possibilities, Mama comes and does something very, very naughty. Probably somebody would be like, I'm going to call the child. I told that to my dad one time. I'm going to call the child protection services. And he's like, I'll give you the phone. And he goes, you won't be able to dial. That's old school Southern comfort right there. Amen. Just give it to you, and I'll let you dial it. I told one time I told my mom to shut up. Now, here, maybe around here, that's okay. I don't know. I don't know how you parent, but I know how my mom and dad parented. Now, my dad now claims that he can't hear out of one of his, I think it's his right ear, and that he can't hear. But let me tell you, when I said to my mom when I was 17 years old to shut up, I don't care where my daddy would have been. He had heard that. He was downstairs, Pastor, and he ran up them steps. Sounded like Godzilla coming up them steps. I knew then that I needed to get right with Jesus right then. I said, Father, come into my life right now. Forgive me of every sin that I even thought about committing, God. Right now, I plead the blood from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Hallelujah. And then I ran. I ran into the bathroom. I closed the door, and my dad, just so ever gently, if you can only imagine, jerked that door open. He didn't come in because he was so angry. He knew if he came into the bathroom, something terrible could have happened. But he looked at me. He said, if you have, and it's that voice. It's the voice that you believe no matter what they say. If you ever tell your mom to shut up again, I'll kill you. Hey, guess what? I believed him. It never happened again. Amen. That's all I needed was a death threat, and I was a perfect child after that. So sometimes you got to take drastic measures. And so Mama flies in. Junior is trying to do the countdown, and the brother sees Mama. He's like, uh-oh, we are in for it. And the Bible says, National Geographic, chapter number 2, verse 4. She pushes that eagle off. And what that eagle does not know is that, number one, it doesn't really know its full potential. That baby is flapping its wings, just screaming and hollering. And they actually say that the mother eagle will hover over the baby as the baby's falling to its death. And that you can actually hear the screams and the cries of the mother's eagles from miles around, screaming and hollering at this child, flapping its wings, trying to fly. I'm assuming that if we could speak eagle, it would be like, flap your wings. You can fly. You can do it. Hey, dummy, flap your wings. You're going to die. And he's like, you're the dummy. You pushed me out, murderer. But they actually say that the mother, right at the moment of impact, that the mother eagle will catch the baby in her shoulders of her wings and fly the baby back up to the cliff. Don't be afraid to leap and take a leap of faith, because I want you to know that God can fly faster than you can fall. God can fly faster than you can fly. Don't stand up on the cliff. You weren't made for that. You were made to fly. And there's one thing that I have found out, that even though Junior was madder than fire, like, why did you do that? There was something about the fall that got in him. Ooh, glory. There was something about that with the wind in his face. Though he was scared to death, he began to realize, I am not created for that cliff. I guess the music, can the band come up? If the band would go ahead and come up and play me some talking music. It's actually music that helps any preacher know when to shut up. And so my good friend Kyle, who we go, matter of fact, speaking of telling you stories about people's pasts, praise the Lord, I got some good stuff about him, and I'll tell you that for a dollar. Pastor is going to cost more. It's going to cost more for you to know about him. But Kyle, matter of fact, just meet me out there. I'll tell it to you for free. There was something about that fall that got in that baby's heart. And he's up on that cliff, and here you got one guy who's never jumped. Then you got another who's experienced the fall. See, falling isn't as bad as it seems when you've got a God that can fly faster than you can fall. See, every now and then what you need is the ability to take a leap of faith. Now things have changed. See, when you came to New Chapel, things changed. Maybe you were going and attending a church where it was very comfortable, easy for you to just go and show up and be there. But when you're in a new place, you just can't sit still. You've got to go and get plugged in, because you getting plugged in is not only essential for you, but it's essential for the church. So I challenge you today, take a leap of faith. Well, I don't even know what I'm qualified to do, but I know I should do something. So you're sitting in here today, and you know that God has got a plan for your life. You may not know what it is, but the best part about that is Junior didn't know for sure. He knew he was an eagle. He didn't have an identity crisis. He knew who he was, an eagle. But he didn't know the potential within him until God messed up his situation. Put him in a place that seemed unsuspecting, a movie theater after all. That doesn't even seem right. I think I was sitting in that seat Friday night. Seriously. But here you are, nevertheless. And there's this young eagle. Before, his mom had to push him off, but now he's standing there. What a picture of you and I. I remember when I got asked to go to the Philippines for the very first time. I didn't want to go. Never been out of the country before. But I went out of obedience to the man of God that was in my life 12 years ago. I went to the Philippines, Kyle, and I have been now 20 times. I didn't want to go the first time. But now that I've been 20 times. We have an orphanage of 47 kids there. Woo! Never thought I would fly that way. But nevertheless, one leap and my life began to pop in a way that it has never popped before. Today, I think the Lord wants you to take a leap of faith. Maybe you know what I'm talking about. Things in your life have been made uncomfortable. You've been blaming and rebuking the wrong thing when it's actually been God. God did it to you. What kind of God is that? It's a God that knows that you weren't created to walk with the chickens pecking around for small stuff. Woo! But you've been created to fly and not be consumed by your problems, but look at them from a different perspective. That don't look so bad now. I was in the middle of that thing, but now that I'm flying, once that baby flies for the first time, do you know what? Glory to God. He never goes back. Once that baby flies, Eric, for the first time, he never goes back. I believe there's people in here today that you're going to take a leap of faith for the very first time. And when you do that, you will never go back. Never again will you be average. Never again will you be mediocre or mundane. Never again will you ponder in the pool of popularity or meander in the maze of mediocrity. But you will take a leap of faith that will cause your life to pop in a way that you thought was not even possible. Every person here, stand to your feet. Glory to God. Glory to God. How many of you are ready in this room to take a leap of faith? Now, your leap may be different than the person's leap next to you. Maybe tonight or today, your leap will be for the very first time you'll make a serious commitment to Jesus Christ, the one that we were singing about. You say, you know what? I want to make a commitment to Him like never before. Maybe that's you. Maybe you've been away from God and you haven't been flying. There's a whole nother portion of this eagle's life. I wish I had the time to tell you. Maybe next time I'll give you part 2 and 3 and 4. But maybe you're coming back and say, you know what? I have been low living long enough. It's time to fly. And maybe you're in here and you're one of those people that they've been talking about. You're going to connect and you're going to begin to serve because on Easter Sunday, on Resurrection Sunday, going to 2 services, and they need you to stop being a chicken. That's funny. Stop being a chicken. Stop being afraid. Stop pecking around and spread out your wings and fly. How many of you want to fly for Christ? How many of you in here want to be an eagle? If you could choose between an eagle and a chicken, which one would you choose? Hey, guess what? We don't eat eagles. Hello. That's an easy choice right there. Be consumed and be eaten, or fly above the storms. Can you lift up both of your hands towards heaven? Father, we glorify you right now. Lord, there's nobody like you, nobody besides you. And Father, I thank you that God, when you described me, you didn't say I look like a chicken to you. You didn't tell me when you described me in your words, you didn't describe me as a turkey. But Lord, you said if I would wait upon you and be patient with you and serve you, that I would mount up with wings like an eagle. Hallelujah. That I would run and not be weary and walk and not faint. Oh God, I am ready to allow the wind of your spirit to lift me above the storms of my life. Pick me up, Lord. Hallelujah. I'll spread my wings for you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information, visit newchapel.com.